You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. It's Alex Dunn and Paddy Aspel with you on this edition, previewing the best of Tuesday's racing. Action coming up on Tuesday from Exeter, Yarmouth, Fairy House, Kempton and Newcastle. And we're going to focus on two contests at Gosforth Park in just a moment or two. Paddy Aspel joins me in the studio. Mr. Aspel, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Alex, how are you keeping?
Not too bad. Where have you been recently? I think I saw you at Redcar the other day.
I was, and I was, where else have I been? I get lost in the days. I was meant to be at Wolver. I didn't make it down to Wolver the weekend. I've been keeping busy enough, but I'm finished riding now, and this is my last William Hill gig, and I'm off to Kuwait Wednesday.
Wednesday, is it?
Wednesday, yeah. So, I mean, I've known about it for a couple of weeks now, but I was just waiting for, you know, flight confirmation that, and leave Wednesday, get there Thursday morning. I've got four rides Friday.
Oh, crikey.
So
right,
we're straight into action, thank God.
How many race courses are there out there?
Well, like I said, Kuwait's a very small place, but I think they might have about six tracks.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure they're all left-handed sand.
Yep.
Looking forward to it, because, like I've mentioned before, the heat's the only thing I'm not looking for. I check their weather. I don't check our weather anymore. I check theirs. And on Thursday, they're forecast 37, just as I arrive.
Crikey.
You know, it had settled down to about 31, 30, but no, back up to 37 Thursday just to welcome me.
Well, you won't need to sweat anything out beforehand, will you?
My weight should be good.
Now, that'll be interesting then. And how long are you planning on staying out there then?
6 month contract, so November to April.
Okay.
All being well.
Yeah.
So like I said, no, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be something different, and it's although the weather for me will be a bit of a drawback, some people mightn't agree, but apart from that, I'm really looking forward to it. It'll be something different, and hopefully we'll have a bit of luck.
Fingers crossed. We're going to focus on Newcastle shortly, but we've got the Monday Jury as ever to delve into on the William Hill Racing Podcast, and this is one of the easier Monday Juries that we'll have, really, because it comes off the back of a fantastic day of racing on Saturday at Ascot. Of course, that was Champions Day. And the first question is Cracksman v Enable. Who do you think would win if they met, and why?
Well, I really, really like Enable because she's just so straightforward. Mm. She's won on all sorts of ground, trip. And for a filly, you know, she's just, there's very, very few question marks about her. But I do think, put it this way, if they were to go at it next week, I would be on Enable. We'd give it a year's time, I'd be the other way, Cracksman.
Okay.
He just seems to be, he's been trained, like William McCreary says in the jury today, he's been trained patiently.
Yeah.
And he's been brought along gradually. And I do think another year older, another year down the line, he is going to be a better horse again. And like I said, there, he is going to stay in training. So luckily, we're going to get to see if he is.
Mm. Okay. So just Enable for now?
For now, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What did you especially enjoy about Champions Day this year?
I thought the Danny Tudor ride in the sprint.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wasn't a sprint. It was a mile race, but still.
Yeah.
The amount of horses he passed, I think he passed 15 horses in the last furlong. Now, I know people will say that's the difference between a good ride and a bad ride, but that's exactly it. Because, you know, he's absolutely broke GM Hopkins' heart on the line. And, you know, but that's the way it goes. But the turn of foot, and I mean, it's a hold up horse. Danny knows that. He's had to bite the bullet and ride his luck, but he's had a good pace to aim at. Connections paid, you know, even watch Dave O'Meara in an interview after, they paid an awful lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, because the owners aren't, you know, they're not foreign owners. They're English based people, and they've been in the sort of the jumping game more so for a few years, but they've had some nice flat horses too. But, you know, they spent €270. You know, on this horse, but obviously they got a nice chunk back on Saturday, but at least it keeps their name in the hat, because you know they're a good yardstick. Mondalist has been retired now and gone. Yeah. You know, so they were looking for a replacement, and they were lucky enough to get him. But I just enjoyed it, and it was just when you watched the head on when they went past the line, you know, Danny Tudhope, he's a very, very quiet guy anyway, but he just, all you see him, he just shook his head. He couldn't believe, you know, the turn of foot, I'd imagine. The amount of winners the guy's ridden and good days he's had all over the world now, but still, he was obviously very taken by the turn of foot, and that was a great win for the North. But overall, the Champions Day was a massive success for me.
He's flying at the minute, to up as well, and I was on air the other day while he was at Redcar, as you were. Mm-hmm. And he had a double on the day there from two rides. He is mustard around Redcar.
Yeah, he is.
I know it's very different to Champions Day. Yeah. Very different.
He's a great judge,
level,
Alex.
But he's very, very good.
He's a great judge and very strong. He's got all the attributes. And unfortunately, he was telling me that he was that good winner he rode in America. He's been very, very... I don't know, because you've got the different tax rates in the different countries. Mm. Very heavily taxed on his winner, so that was a bit of a bit of a sore point for him, but... Nonetheless, great winner to get, but they did take a few quid off him.
Okay. Next question. Are there any changes or additions you would make to the card that, of course, is going back to Champions Day?
Yeah, no. I mean, no changes to the card itself. I mean, obviously, it's just the timing, which the lads have highlighted there as well. Sometimes you don't obviously get the sort of ground that real top-quality horses like that want as regards, you know, your sprinters, and it's... The ground is generally hard all work, which really, that quality of horse probably deserves a bit better. So, yeah. But then again, look, it's that time of year, so really it's in the hands of the gods, so there's nothing anybody can do about that. But apart from that, nothing that really sort of sticks out that I think is going wrong with the whole gig, really, so no.
Okay. Can you see any threat to Sylvester D'Souza retaining his jockey's title in 2018? It seems to have been... For quite a few years now, that they've almost been passing it round. So you've had Hannigan, Moore, Hughes, of course, not too long ago, Crowley, D'Souza. They almost sort of take it in turns. It's quite hard to have a prolonged effort at retaining this title. It takes a bit out of you.
Yeah, true. It has been passed around a little bit. But I think Jim Crowley's point about the freelancers' advantage, freelance jockeys' advantage, that they've got now because of not having the commitments and being able to go to the smaller meetings through the week more so than going to one particular meeting where they might be able to fill the card with rides, you know, whereas Sylvester go, I mean, especially, you know, you see Sylvester when he goes to the likes of, you know, the Yarmouths and the, you know, places like that. He just farms winners, you know, places like that. And, like, they all stack up through the year and, you know, it's a massive advantage. And plus, as I've always said, you know, Sylvester's got absolutely no weight issues.
Yeah.
You know, he's 8 stone every day of the week. So, you know, he's a very hard-working guy. And, you know, he's very popular, rides a good race, gives everything a ride. He's very brave. So he ticks all the boxes. And, I mean, look, it's difficult to pick out a danger for him, Alex, because he's won by such a wide margin and he's always been in front by such a wide margin.
Yeah.
So it's not as if somebody was on his heels and he's just run them out of a close home. You know, he's always been well on top, well in control, and because he's got that freedom of being a freelancer and he's so popular, no, it's very hard to look past him. You know, with his enthusiasm also.
Okay, before the Racing Boss Trophy, who's the best juvenile you've seen this year? Of course, Aidan O'Brien's got a battalion of them, but seemingly we change our mind on his, and he seems to as well every month or so. There's a new star on the block.
Yeah, well, I mean, I put the other chap up on the podcast the other week has been a massive price, the US Navy flag, because I've always been a fan of him because I like the type of horses like him that race behind the bridle, and you know he was absolutely crying out all year for a pair of blinkers, and you know once connections have gone down that route, you know he's been transformed, and he is actually a very straightforward, genuine horse, and you know he's actually turned into quite a high quality horse. But also, you know, in the filly department, Clemmy, another O'Brien inmate. Mm-hmm. I mean, that run at Newmarket the last day was unbelievable. It was breathtaking. And, you know, Ryan Moore has never hidden the regard that he holds us to. And he said that she's probably one of the, if not the best, two-year-old fillies that he's ever sat on. So, you know, you don't really need to hear much more than that.
And finally, Hughie Morrison has the Melbourne Cup favourite. That is just over a fortnight away from the Melbourne Cup. Who do you like in the race?
Well, I thought that big race, was it the Caulfield Cup they had the weekend?
I think so, yeah.
You know, it was just literally, I think the first five was all filled by horses right at the foot of the weights. And like Dave Egan mentions in the jury, that, you know, Thomas Hobson, he's got a lovely weight of, he's in there with 8 stone 3, you know, and...
Currently 14 to 1, Thomas Hobson.
Yeah, and I mean, it's... You know, it's a desperately hard race to win. And it's more... The thing about... You watch that Australian race and they race very differently to us, you know. They've got to be very careful, the lads, where they go and what they do, because there's absolutely no... There's no leeway in them races as regards stewards' inquiries. That they've got to be very strict regards... You know, they've even got to come out with their riding instructions and their riding plans before the races. You know, so to me, it can be a little bit... obviously scripted at times, and which I wouldn't be that keen on, but no, for me, I just think, looking at the way them bigger races have been going, sort of the horses at the foot of the weights, I think of 8 stone 3, Sir Thomas Hobson, he's shown his class in the past, and I think he's got an outsider chance there for me to take the prize back to Ireland.
And while we're on the subject of international racing, I saw something on Twitter over the weekend, and I think it was over in Hong Kong, where jockeys after the race, losing jockeys gave interviews.
That's right.
Pretty brief interviews, some of them. But explaining what happened, why maybe things didn't go right, etc., etc. It was fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
2.5 minute video, 10 jockeys.
Yeah.
But could that happen over here?
I think that's another thing that they do in Australia as well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, I think racing all over the world, it's got its good points and its bad points. I don't like this thing of, you know, the plan is, because race riding's a bit, there should be a bit of skullduggery involved, but you know, you want to try and have gain an advantage by having a plan. You know, when everybody's going out there, they know what the plans are.
It's the equivalent of a football manager giving you the team lineup on a Wednesday ahead of a Saturday game, and you've got 2 days to prepare to.
Yeah, and you know, obviously giving away positions.
Yeah.
And you know, say whether they're going to be attacking or whether they're going to try and go on the counter. I don't like all that, to be honest. Mm. And then obviously afterwards, if jockeys don't ride to that actual instruction, they're in again, as they say. And I mean, it's a horse race.
So what happens if you're on a declared front runner and you break slowly?
Yeah.
Do you rush it up and lose all chance of winning just to ride to orders?
Exactly, yeah.
Or do you hold it up and try and sneak your way through?
It just seems a bit silly, and it's far too scripted for me. But, you know, I mean, look, like I said, racing all over the world has got their good points and the bad points. But that one that you highlighted there a minute ago, Alex, that's a great point. Because, you know, punters can be at home and they can have questions of their own, thinking, well, you know, why did he go around there, or why didn't he go for that gap? And, you know, what was this horse doing? And there could be little tiny things. And, you know, like you say, that quick 2 minutes brief from the jockey can, you know, it can answer an awful lot of questions for an awful lot of punters.
As for Tuesday's racing then, two contests at Newcastle to focus on. The 410 and the 440 are the two races that Paddy is going to hone in on. You've got a nap and a next best. We'll start with the next best. Is that in the 410 or the 440?
410.
410, which is a sprint handicap over 6 furlongs. And crikey, this is competitive, Paddy.
It is competitive. But the one I was going to go for was the Ian Williams trained Boy in the Bar. Like I say, it is a competitive race. And this chap has had a very, very good career on the grass. He's 5-25 on the grass. But he's only ran 5 times on the all-weather, Alex. He hasn't won so far on the all-weather. But on the grass, he's rated 91, and on the all-weather, he's rated 79.
Yeah.
Now, he's very, very capable on the grass off 91, so you'd imagine even by default of 79, he should be more than capable on the all-weather. And it was much more like it at Chelmsford back in September. We've not seen him since. That was his last run, when he ran there and he finished 4th over 7 furlongs in a class 4. Didn't get a great passage round, to be honest. And to say he was well positioned, he still did manage to meet a bit of traffic, but kept galloping, wasn't beaten very far. And I just think that this looks absolutely ideal from tomorrow. He's drawn 2, which in an ideal world, I like to see him a little bit more sort of middle to stand side. But that said, there should be a bit of speed on here, so a bit of pace to drag him into the race. There's 14 runners. and Ian Williams has had a great year both on the level and over jumps, and Josephine Gordon rides. So I think buying the bar just offers a little bit of value there for me.
The Knapp, though, comes in the 440. That is the handicap over 5 furlongs, division one of. This, again, looks open, but there's certainly, compared to the previous race that we were talking about, less of them arriving here in superb nick.
Yeah, apart from Indian Pursuit, who's going for the hat-trick down at the bottom, the rest of them, there's a few of these horses are just slightly out of form. Duke Cosimo is doing okay just lately. Liquid, that wasn't a bad run last time, but I just thought he might have given it up a little bit and maybe could have won if he wanted. But my selection was number 5, the Anthony Britton trained Bondi Beach Boy.
Okay.
This horse was previously trained by Jim Turner, but I'm not really sure now whether Jim Turner has handed in his license, because I have not seen him at a runner for a while. But he's done very well with this horse, and he runs in the same colours. He's actually owned by the Turner family, but he's been a real good money spinner, this horse. Now, he's actually managed to rack up 12 wins from 50 runs, but this horse fits the same bill as the last one I mentioned. He's very, very unexposed on the all-weather. He's only run 3 times. But that run the last day, up at Newcastle, he finished 4th and was held up on the far side. For me, I don't think it is a favourite part of the track. I at Newcastle myself, I generally like to be middle to stand side. So that sort of just probably enlightens the run a little bit to think that he's done quite nicely. Never really involved, to be honest. That's the closest he ever got was at the line, finishing 4th, but he was only beat about sort of just short of 2 lengths. It was a pretty decent effort, and with Clifford Lee taking the ride, Bondi Beach Boy tomorrow on the all weather, he's actually got a mark on the grass. He's 74 on the all weather. He's 71. But with Clifford's claim off, he's actually going to run then tomorrow evening off 68.
Yeah.
So it's a very tempting mark, because his last successful mark on the turf was actually 82.
Mm.
So effectively, he's very, very well in this horse. And that was, for me, a step in the right direction last time.
Okay. Bondi Beach Boy, then the Knapp for Paddy in the 440. And just to end the podcast, we're going to go full circle. Can you remember, Paddy, you rode this horse once?
Mm-hmm.
Where was it?
Bondi Beach Boy.
Yeah.
Poor. Was it a red car?
It was a red car. And what was the horse that won that race called?
Oh, now you've got me.
Q8 Star.
Really?
Look at that.
Wow.
Look at that. We don't make this stuff up.
There you go.
Yeah, in October 2012. So there you go. We've gone full circle on the William Hill Racing Podcast. So thank you to Paddy for his selections for tomorrow. And Paddy, best of luck out in Q8.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
And hopefully we'll see you soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.